Welcome to WWER 88.1 FM. This is Eric with another edition of Porch Talk. I'm on the porch with Bob. Bob, how are you doing?
Well, how are you, sir?
Hey, doing great. And thank you for being on Porch Talk.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bob, everybody has a Colonial Beach story. What's your story? Let's go a little bit before that.
So my Colonial Beach story is I retired from the University of Maryland about 13 years ago.
What'd you do at the University of Maryland?
I was a facilities director.
Okay. Facilities of?
Operations.
Operations?
Yes.
40 years at Maryland?
Yeah. 32 years full-time, then about 8 years of consulting afterwards while I lived here.
Were you there from 1988 to 1992?
1982.
Okay, so I was a student while you were there.
Yes, so 82 is when I started.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I love Maryland. Are you keeping track of the?
Oh yeah.
Maryland basketball team.
I am. Well, yes.
Yeah,
I was.
Yeah. Yeah, they just got beat.
So did the women.
They lose. Yeah, they had the lead within I think 4 minutes left or something. Anyway, so Bob, how'd you get to Maryland?
I was born in D.C. and moved, my family lived right outside of D.C. in a little town called Edmonston, which is near Hyattsville.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay. I went to Blainsburg High School.
Oh, wow.
It was a vo-tech school, so I went for graphic arts, graphic communications. And I left there, worked construction, eventually applied, got a job at the University of Maryland, and literally just stayed for my whole career and moved up throughout the organization.
So you were at Maryland for all those years. You retired from Maryland.
I did.
How did you get to Colonial Beach?
Well, while I was at the University of Maryland, I've been an artist my whole life.
So, what medium?
I'm an oil painter and a sculptor.
Okay.
But I do dabble in everything, watercolors, you name it, pretty much. So simultaneously, the whole time I was at the university, I had a job, a side gig as an artist, and I had a gallery at the Maryland Renaissance Festival for 25 years. During that time period.
You're at University of Maryland and you're with the Maryland Renaissance Festival exhibiting there for how long?
25 years.
Wow. Okay.
So right after COVID, during COVID, I retired from all of it.
Okay.
So back up a bit. I moved here in 2013. My daughter purchased this house. She was a teacher in Maryland, and the only thing she could afford was a house in Colonial Beach. She couldn't afford to live in Maryland. So she taught in Maryland, but she purchased the house that I'm currently in.
Wow. Okay. So where does she teach?
When?
Where?
Charles County Public Schools.
Okay. Okay. So I went to Milton Summers and La Plata High School.
Oh, so she was at, I'm trying to remember the name. It's not going to come.
Was it high school?
No, she taught elementary school.
Elementary school.
So she came here.
Okay.
She got married and moved to a larger house and was renting this cottage.
Okay.
Just about the time I was retiring.
Oh, so.
So I said, I'll tell you what, I'll just rent the house.
Sure.
And if I like it here, I'll renovate it, because it was basically still like 1950. It was nice and clean, but it was still not modern.
Right.
So I said, I'll renovate it.
Okay.
And I'll renovate it. If I like it, I'll stay. And if I don't like it, you can sell it. Well, I liked it. So I'm still here 13 years later.
13 years later?
Yeah.
Okay. Is your daughter still here?
Yeah, she's on Stratford.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yes. Okay. So the whole family's here.
My grandson, my granddaughter live there. My grandson is, hopefully one day he'll do a porch talk, because he does 3D printing in town, and you'll see him at the Osprey Festival.
Okay. Okay.
He's 11. He'll be 12.
He'll be
12. Next week. Yes.
He's 12, almost 12. He's doing 3D printing.
Oh yeah. He's got a business in town. He does a lot of work for neighbor to neighbor and
other. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So everybody's here.
Yeah. They're all here.
Now, what made you stay? You say, well, if I like it, I stay. What makes you like it?
The art community in particular. When I came here, to back up a bit, when I first came here just to visit, I was in a gallery in Southern Maryland called Mattawamon Creek Art Center.
Yes.
And Mattawamon Creek asked me if I could go to Colonial Beach. I had never been here before in my life. And my kids grew up, I raised them right over in Maryland.
You sure?
Yeah, in Waldorf.
Waldorf, yeah.
Yeah. So I came over and I looked and I was supposed to do an art demonstration for my, it was a sort of a cooperation between our gallery and in their gallery. So I came over and I loved the place. They had a real thriving art community.
Okay.
And so that's really nice. I've never been to Colonial Beach. You know, it's a nice art center.
Right.
Then a couple years later, my daughter says, hey, you want to rent the house?
Wow.
I'm like, and I retired. I'm like, sure, Colonial Beach. Why not?
Why not? Serendipitous.
Yeah. So I moved here in 13.
Okay.
And once I got here, I got involved with our guild and some of the we have great art. We have a lot of artists in this town. It's a very heavy art community for
sure.
A tiny town.
Sure.
So I did that for a while, and I was still doing the Renaissance Festival. I hadn't quite given up on that yet.
Okay.
I hadn't retired from that. But my plan was, and I did, to build a studio here and just mentor students.
Is that what you do now?
That's what I do now.
Wow. And are you involved in the new art center there on?
Yes, I'm on the board of the art center, and I'm also on the board of the art guild.
Wow. Okay. So you're involved in that. What's going on at the art center now?
The art center is currently giving classes. We're expanding slightly. We're in the process of building a pottery studio in the garage. There's an empty garage there. It's a one-car garage. We're going to make it to a pottery studio. We have classes. Art every month, there's a new artist of the month for the art walk. While the art walk's open, you know, it's closed 2 months a year, or really 3 months a year.
Okay.
So now that we're in the springtime, there'll be an artist, new featured artists every month. There's gallery space. There are rental spaces where you can rent and hang your art there.
Okay.
Eventually, we want to have a sculpture garden out front.
Okay.
So we're doing really well. I think last I heard was 280 some classes have been through there. People have been through there since we opened in the fall.
Sure.
Which is a tremendous number for this town.
Yes.
For the population size.
Wow. And yeah. Your own art being painting, are you going to exhibit there?
Possibly. But right now we're trying to get as many, feature many artists that haven't been featured.
Okay.
And I have been in the art walk many times. So we're kind of letting everybody else get their opportunity to get into this new thing.
Sure.
And eventually, I'm sure I'll show. Probably sculpture.
Okay.
Most likely.
In the sculpture garden?
We hope to build a sculpture garden. Yes.
Sure.
We're not there yet.
Do you actively paint now?
I do.
You still do?
I do. Mostly demonstrations for classes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really teach. I'm more of a mentor when it comes to art, from business, the art business, to the, you know, actual painting, sculpting techniques. I bring folks in, let them just get immersed in whatever they want to do, and just sort of help them along. I'm not doing structured classes.
Okay, so kids can come.
Oh, absolutely.
How do they learn more?
Well, right now it's word of mouth because you'll see when you see the studio. It's only big enough for maybe 5 or 6 people to work at once.
Okay.
But ultimately, what I do is it's word of mouth. And I have several, I've had folks in their 70s and kids, you know, 10-year-olds, and they're learning how to. They just love art. You know, they go to school. A lot of these folks, especially like the 20-somethings, have been to school, and they haven't quite gotten to the point where they could go to art school.
Yes.
So it kind of bridging that gap.
Okay.
To continue to learn till they can then get out and, you know, get on their own. So just mostly it's about business and how to sell your work, how to price your work, how to professionally display your work. That's what I do, the majority of what I do.
And that, I imagine these lessons aren't free.
They're free.
They are free. Everything's free.
Everything's free.
So if I want to learn more about art, do art, I can come here.
Yes.
For free.
For free.
That's amazing, Bob.
Yeah. It's just what it is, the reason I don't broadcast it, because
you'd have a line out the door.
Yes. And I want to be inclusive. Right. So it's because it's at my house.
Yes.
I've got to be a little, I don't know what the word is, but I still got to feel out whoever's trying to do it to make sure they're really interested and serious and not just somebody who, you know, wants to take a class.
Okay.
There are plenty of classes you could take.
Okay.
This is more someone with a passion that wants to really become an artist and has a passion for it.
Sure.
But they're just, you know, they just don't have the knowledge yet, the knowledge base.
Okay.
Because I'm self-taught.
Okay.
And it was a long, long, long journey when you're self-taught.
Right. Okay.
and I'm trying to shorten that journey for folks.
Right.
That's sort of what my mission is. And I'll tell you, when I was at the Renaissance Festival, it ended up being a store. I mean, we sold thousands and thousands of prints every year. It's a huge operation. They get 250,000 people through it.
Yeah, I went once. It was jammed.
It's enormous.
It's huge.
So after a while, I had a crew of five people who manned my booth. I didn't.
That busy.
Yeah, I really didn't work anymore. Wow. I just made the work
and
brought it in, and it became a retail store. The only thing I really enjoyed at the end was when someone would come up and say, my child, or I'm an artist, but I don't know, you know, I see your work and I'd really love to do this, but I don't know how. And I would, when I could talk to those people, that was the thing I liked the most.
Okay.
That was my idea for when the day comes, you know, and I had the opportunity, I'd like to give that back to the community.
I'm going to go back to something you said earlier. How, if an artist makes a painting, let's say, how would you determine the value? You say you help them.
So a lot goes into it. First of all, it's just, you know, if you were to ask me how long did it take me to get 40 years experience painting, it took 40 years.
Right.
So a lot of it has to do with the skill level and how long they've been doing it and whether or not, you know, you have to be real with yourself.
Okay.
So first thing, you have to assess yourself. Secondly, you have to sell yourself as an artist. So to be able to price a piece of artwork, it's the market that you're aiming for.
Okay.
Is the most important thing.
Okay.
The level of skill that you have, meaning, you know, be realistic. If you've been painting for 1 year, you're not going to have as much skill as you've been painting for 20.
Sure.
But be realistic. You can still sell it, but make sure everything you do, this is my, I just stand on this. You have to be professional at every level. I don't care if you're starting or you've been doing it for 40 years.
Right.
It's recognized by the public. The public doesn't know what they're looking at typically when it comes to art.
Some I wouldn't know what I was looking at. Okay.
But many people, they know what they like. So present it in a way that would give you the best opportunity to sell it. But you really have to price it for the market.
Okay.
If you're going to be in D.C. in a gallery, clearly the price will be different than if you're in Colonial Beach in a small gallery.
Yes.
You establish the price range, and then you have to actually educate your audience.
Okay.
If you have a certain level of quality over, say, the competition,
yes,
then you need to make them understand, the audience, you're teaching them. I do this. This is how I do it. This is how much time I put into it.
So the artist is as important as the painting?
The artist is. You have to sell yourself.
Okay.
Generally speaking, when somebody knows the artist, they tend to have a... It's like any artist, like when you listen to music.
Sure.
And you start to follow an artist because you like them.
Yes.
It's the same thing with visual arts.
Okay.
So you really... It's about presenting yourself. And I keep going back to the word professional. You know, if you come in with bent frames or things that look shabby, and they're going to think it's, you know, people have a yard sale mentality a lot of times when it comes to art.
Right.
They'll see something for 25 cents at a yard sale and think that's what it's worth.
Right.
And your mission is to say, no, that is a thing. What I'm doing is my passion.
So you've sold a lot of art over the years.
I have sold a lot of art.
Okay. What's the single most expensive piece you've ever sold?
My highest price painting was $5,000.
Wow.
And that was probably 15 years ago.
That's a round trip airline ticket to Rome.
Well, what we made all the profits on, I sold thousands of prints every year.
Thousands.
I made them all. I had to, yeah, I made them, I printed them, I signed them, I painted the paintings, and then I would
made the prints.
Well, you would take, scan the prints, Photoshop the prints so they look just like the original.
Okay.
And I'd print them on canvas and retouch the details in them so it looked just like the original, frame them, and then sell them. Oh. So
there's a lot in it.
It's a business.
Sure.
Well, that's the part that I eventually got tired of. I wanted to do the paintings, not all the reproductions.
Okay.
But it's so expensive to have that done. If you don't do it yourself as an artist, it could be prohibitive.
Sure.
Especially in my case, I was selling 1,000 prints a year.
Wow.
So
that sounds successful to me. Is that successful?
It was tremendously successful. It was. I mean, I started small.
Okay.
And then figured it out along the way.
Right.
And at the end, and like any business, at the very end, I hired some very, very talented people who were fans of my art, who had purchased my art.
Sure.
To run my booth. And not that I'm a poor businessman, but I don't like it.
Okay.
And I hired somebody who was good at it and liked it.
It sounds to me that in painting there's the starving artist, right? So it's, you sound like the opposite. You must be very proud, right?
Well, yes, and the starving artist moniker is usually because the artist is not a business person.
Okay.
And in, you know, right side, left side of the brain situation, most artists could care less about that part of it. So being professional when it comes to displaying your work,
right,
and getting it in front of the public, where you say, this is a fine piece of artwork. This isn't just, I'm just not a hobbyist sitting at home doing hobbies.
Right.
Because it's very difficult to shake people from that. If you're somebody who's just been in your house and never showing your work, the scariest thing in the world is to put it in public and have somebody criticize it.
Right, right.
It's terrifying.
Right. So have you been in a gallery and then somebody criticized the work?
Of course. Oh, yeah. I would be in my art gallery at the Renaissance Festival. Sure. I would always sit back and let the staff do everything.
Okay. But here comes somebody.
Well, somebody would come in and say, I thought you'd had to be dead to get these prices. So that's the thing that, more confident you get, the easier it is to deal with that sort of thing mentally. And when you go up and meet the person and say, yeah, I'm an artist, I've been doing this for 35, 40 years to perfect my craft to be able to get these prices.
And
you don't have to buy it. You can just look at it. For you, it could be a museum. Just look at the work and keep going. It's fine. You don't have to buy it.
Right, right.
One reason that people don't succeed is they don't get their art out enough. They put it in one place and hope they're going to sell. Listen, art is always subjective. So the more people that see it, the more chance you're going to get to sell it. It's like anything else.
Sure.
But a lot of folks get discouraged. They'll do a show and not sell anything. I'm like, well, you had 100 people walk through.
Right.
I had 250,000 people a year walk through that place.
Wow. Right? Are you tempted to go back?
No. No. It was so much work. It was so much work.
What if you want to buy a new car? Would you go back?
No. 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 I am retired. I'm fine. I got a pension from the University of Maryland, Social Security, and I'm good.
Gosh,
And now I can just give back to folks.
When was the last time you went to Maryland?
University
of Maryland. No, you've never gone back?
Oh, University of Maryland. I was there this week.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're just visiting, or?
I have friends and acquaintances up there. I'm a very good friend with one of the vice presidents.
Wow. Okay.
A good friend of mine.
Yeah.
Who comes here and loves it here.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a vibrant art community.
It is. For being as small as it is.
Yes.
We have 50 some folks from the Art Guild that live here.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
3,500, I guess we're right around 3,500 and
I've heard 4,000.
Okay.
That's not right.
Well, no, it might be. I mean, my numbers may be old. And I know it swells in the summer, but they're not permanent residents.
Sure.
But yeah, we have, I'd say greater than most towns, small towns.
Yes.
They're so active. There's a core group of probably 30 or 40 people who are very, very active.
All involved in Art Guild, the Art Center, and the Art Walk.
Correct.
Oh,
yeah. And you'll see the same people at all of them.
All of them, yeah.
So the love signs that we put up, you're maybe familiar with.
Yes.
So about 2-3 years ago, the town decided we were going to do the love signs to try to have the most in Colonial Beach. I mean, most in Virginia.
Okay.
Colonial Beach would have the most in Virginia. I was asked to come on. I wasn't on the guild then.
Okay.
And I was asked to be on the guild to help that project.
Okay.
Or basically to spearhead the project. Because I had a lot of experience with that sort of thing. And so I said, sure, I will do a sign, but I'll actually help to do the, spec everything, like the paint, the materials, and I would basically follow up on all the installation with the town to make sure everything went in properly.
Okay.
So at the moment, we have 12 or 13 love signs now that we did, and they were tremendously successful. I mean, people love
the I see a new love sign on Peddler's Market.
Yes. Yeah.
Who did that?
They did.
They did.
Peddler's Market did it. So some love signs are just, companies that decided to join in. They weren't part of the guild's original
vision. Yeah.
Vision, yeah.
Okay. Bob, you said when I asked you when we sat down on the porch, where do you do all this? And then you said you actually have a studio here.
I do. It's in my backyard. It was built 3 years ago.
Can we take a look?
Certainly.
Okay. Well, here's our second consecutive porch talk. We're leaving the porch. Okay. We're going to cut through the house. Do I have to beware of the dog?
No dogs.
Okay, no dogs. That's just a sign?
It's just a sign.
There used to be three dogs.
Okay, okay. Oh, this is cute.
I've been renovating this house for 10 years now, slowly.
Okay.
One room at a time.
Oh, a sliding door. I love it.
This one's next.
Okay.
This room.
Okay, sure.
This was the old studio before the new studio.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we're going into the backyard. So
there's the sign off my gallery from the Renaissance Festival.
Okay, hold on. It doesn't say Bob or anything. It says...
The Wade Gallery.
The Wade Gallery. What's that?
And Wade is my middle name. W-A-Y-T.
That's an unusual middle name. Is that a family name?
It is a family name. My family's from Stanton, Virginia.
Okay.
And if you go there today, you'll see Wade Street and Wade. There's Wade. They're everywhere. They're just not here.
They're just not... Okay, they're everywhere. Okay, we're in the backyard. It's a big backyard. Got a hammock out there. Okay, we're going to the studio. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm looking at paintings all over the walls. I'm looking at several workspaces, work platforms. I'm looking at a table, looking at a drawing desk, sculptures.
Some are students, some are mine.
Okay. Okay, so, and what am I looking at?
That is a 4-foot Giclée canvas printer. So it prints on canvas.
This is how you can make
reproductions. That paint. I know we're not a TV show right now, but if that painting up there,
yes,
the flamenco dancer, that's a print.
Okay, that's a print. I would not know that's a print.
Yes, I printed it.
Okay, I'm looking at things that are. Okay, that's an osprey.
Yep.
Are you involved in the Osprey Festival?
I am. Well, I have been in the past. This year, I'm just helping.
Okay.
Yeah. Just volunteering.
Okay. Yeah. WWER. We're going to be covering the Osprey Festival. That looks like an osprey. That looks like a girl on the beach. Well, this looks very. This is called realism, or
this is a classical realism.
Classical realism. And
these are oil paintings.
Okay.
For instance, this one. This is one of my students. Her name's. Well, I have three of them. So that one is one of my students. Shawnee.
Okay.
And this painting is of...
She painted that?
I painted these.
Okay, you painted those.
Yeah, this is Kennedy.
Okay.
And I'm doing a sculpture of Kennedy.
Okay.
So I hope to do this one. That's a mock-up. I hope to do this life-size. So that's that painting. Her sister took the photograph. Riley, they're three sisters.
Okay.
She took the photograph. I did the painting from the photograph, and I'm going to do a sculpture from that.
Okay, so... This is what I'm looking at. I'm looking at a painting, a very realistic painting, a classical realism. And then I see maybe a 10-inch sculpture of that right now it looks in shape and form like the painting.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
And eventually it'll be a full-size sculpture.
How many students can you have in this space? This is about the size of what, a two-car garage? Or?
Yeah, it's about 20 by 20.
20 by 20.
And you can have... I've had up to 8 people working at once.
Okay.
But it depends on what we're working on.
And they work around this table here?
Yeah, and we can move the table in many configurations.
Yes.
But we'll have somebody at the easel, the drawing board, and I have many easels I can set up.
So. Okay.
But about 10 comfortably.
Okay, so on this wall, I'm looking at a bunch of frames. How do you choose a frame for a painting?
Well, depending on the style of painting, if it's, say, something a little looser.
Okay.
You know, and it depends on whether it's contemporary or not. See, a lot of my paintings, I try not to make them contemporary. I try to make them look timeless. You don't know when it was done. You don't know what the vintage is. It could be modern or it could be 100 years ago.
You know? Okay. Right. So it's not, I see what you mean. So this could be.
Yeah, you don't, the idea.
Anytime.
The idea is it's sort of timeless. And
yes.
So I would put more golden frames, ornate frames, but that's only for the original. If you're doing reproductions for people's houses, a lot of them, they want the frames domestic decor.
Okay, sure.
If you're doing a commission, you want to have input from whoever's buying the piece.
Okay, so I'm looking at a lot of women in these. I get so women would be a theme, perhaps. I see a lot of trees.
Yeah,
I see nature, trees, and, you know, and...
That's my granddaughter.
That's your granddaughter? My gosh.
You may recognize the street because she's over on Hawthorne, sitting down at one of the little, right down from Dr. Karen's pet supplies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the next, like, two doors down.
That's not Hawthorne Mercantile, is it?
No, it's one the more next door down, I think, from that, yes.
Okay. Circa.
Yeah, it's between Circa and, okay. It's right before Circa.
Okay, well, I need to know my geography a little bit better.
Right
okay.
Before Circa.
Okay, so what is this?
That's an underpainting. That's how they start with an underpainting.
What is an underpainting?
So that's when you take a blank canvas and you rough in the image first to get it to get the composition established and maybe the tone. And then after that, it dries, and then you go back and put you start to do the finish painting on top of the underpainting. So like this is an underpainting. This is one of my students.
Okay.
And that's one of the students. And there are several here from my students, and she is one of my students.
Okay.
But I'm usually, these are oils. I work in oils predominantly.
Okay, so yeah, that's what I'm looking at now. Just tons of paint. Looks like every color of the rainbow. This is paint too?
That's acrylic paint. And I do a lot of pencils.
Okay.
The pencil studies will end up being. So this was a pencil study that I ended up painting.
Oh.
Here.
Oh.
So that gives you an idea of how it goes from idea, concept, to final painting. And these are just local scenes. Like I'll pull off the side of the road and just quickly paint it. Those are plein air paint. I'm a studio painter.
Okay.
Typically, those are plein air paintings, painting out in the field.
Sure.
Where with these, they're very quick studies.
Right.
They're not meant to be final pieces. Like I think that one over there, that was when it snowed, last time it snowed. I went out around the town, found a little vignette, painted it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I don't know anything about this. So this is going to be an underpainting you paint. How many layers of paint would be on a...
Well, traditional classic paintings like these.
Yes.
Dozens.
Dozens.
Dozens, yeah. Because there's a lot of glazing that, you know, you put a layer on, let it dry, put a layer. That's what gives you the realism, the light, you know. Whereas there's the direct painting is when you just apply it. You've seen people just apply paint.
Yes.
That's direct painting. This is indirect. This takes many, many layers to get realism in, you know, like that's an underpainting.
So that's not finished yet.
Oh no!
Oh my god! Okay,
it'll look more like that when it gets closer.
Oh my gosh!
So these are all most of these are not new. I mean, you know, some of them these were demonstrations. That's why they're here.
This is remarkably clean.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but it's.
You're gonna have paint, you know, spilled here or whatever, but the floor. The table is all organized. Is that I would assume that's essential.
It is, and some of my students have helped me label things because when it's just me, I know where everything is. When you have five or six people working, that tends to get a little chaotic where not everything gets backwards.
Right, originally. Right.
That's why you see all this stuff is.
Okay, so that so what I'm looking at now is where you organize pens, charcoals, pencils. And
so
then you have
go to it without,
Okay. Right.
I tried to make, and I put I'm losing the name of it. The lock, the cipher lock there.
Okay.
I put that on just so they can come and go as they please.
Oh, so they have the code.
They don't need me.
They don't need you. They can walk through the yard, come in here and start working on a painting.
Yeah. Because even though I'm here to get them started and sometimes just to, I'm happy to be here, but if they're working on something for hours, I don't have to just sit here and,
Right, right. So am I looking at a painting in progress?
You are.
So there, what do I call that? She's mixed. That's a palette. That's a glass palette.
That's a palette.
That's a palette.
Yeah, the glass palette. That's a paper palette. And that's just a plastic bin. So I use the plastic bins for bigger acrylic paintings.
Okay.
So because you put a lot of material in and paint it, and acrylic dries really fast. Oils will dry. It takes days for them to dry.
Okay.
So you can put them on the palette and keep working it for days before it finally gets, it sets up to the point where you can't use it any longer.
And this is oil.
This is an oil paint. Yeah.
How close are we to finishing that?
Very close. It'll be... I just need to glaze over the skin and make some adjustments and finish up the fruit a little bit, that sort of thing. But it's getting close. And I'm only doing this for an exercise. I'm not doing it for any reason.
Okay.
There was a time when everything, when I was much more mercenary, everything was for sale.
Yeah, right. So there's some, you don't feel a lot of pressure on this.
There's no, that's exactly why.
That's the whole point.
I don't want any pressure.
Right.
I'm free to do whatever I want when it comes to art.
Okay.
And not have to, as much as I did like the fact, I'm very, very, very happy that I was at the fair for all the years. It was great. I mean, it was the best thing ever, except it was very difficult.
Wow. Because, yeah, I imagine.
So now that I don't have to do that any longer, I'm pretty happy about it. It was great, though.
And these sculptures, are you, you're adding that to your, or you've always done sculptures?
Always.
Always.
What
are we doing here?
The sculptures that you're looking at now are just in progress. We have some student doing some. I'm teaching them all the. That's all right. I'm teaching them all the methods. So they're trying to get the figures. There's an armature, a metal armature underneath that they have to first create to keep the clay to stand on its own, so it doesn't just bend over.
Sure.
Like some of those up there.
Right.
But mostly it's teaching them the techniques on how to do it. That's what we're doing here. It's not so much, one of the first things I teach them is this isn't precious. You're learning.
Okay.
Don't think you're going to be, you know, starting at the end. You need to start at the beginning.
Wow.
And so they do, it takes a while to get through because everybody wants to do, you know, this awesome finished art. Like, right. You gotta learn how to do it first.
Right. The cart before the horse. Oh, okay. Hold on. I just flipped a canvas, and it turns out to be flowers.
Yeah, this is the students are working on this one.
Okay, so that's why it's there.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is work in progress.
Oh, absolutely.
It's beautiful.
Oh yeah, it's coming out really well.
Okay, as we do this porch talk, I'm looking at these paintings. These are beautiful.
Well, thank you.
So there's a young someone might listen to this porch talk and they now realize that they can come here for free. So it's going to be word of mouth.
Correct.
They're going to start walking around asking for where do I find Bob Smith?
Yes. Well, and if they do,
they should check out the art gallery.
Yeah, they can find me through the art
Guild
Center.
Art Center
and CB Creative Art Center.
CB Creative Art Center. Yeah, sure.
And almost every single day of the week, I'm in the buzz. Every morning.
Every morning.
Pretty much every morning, I go there after the gym. So I go to the gym. They go
across the street to the buzz.
Right. And I usually am there for, you know, an hour or so. Just, you know, that's where I learn everything that's going on in town. I mean,
sure.
It truly is the buzz.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, most people I've met in this town are through the buzz.
Wow.
When it was in this location or the previous location.
Okay.
But I go there every day.
Wow.
I mean, practically every day.
Okay.
And so between the gym, which I've been in since I've been here, and then the art center, and then Buzz, that's where I get all my, you know, because I'm not a drinker. I don't go to bars. I don't hang out at night.
Sure.
You know, I just, by the time they get going, I go to sleep.
Okay. Right. Because you're getting up early with the.
Yeah. I'm in the gym early in the morning.
Okay.
So for me, it works really well because I sort of get all my my community time out of the way, then I'm in the studio for hours.
Hours and hours.
Yeah.
This is amazing. This is amazing. Okay, well, let me ask you this. As we wind down the porch talk, what's one thing in Colonial Beach you would like to see that we don't have?
Oh, probably more things for children. More opportunities. And we do a lot. BAM does a lot. And they fill a niche. The Arts Center, we're hoping to do many more, especially as the weather gets nice. We have a large backyard that we'd like to do some art programming for children.
Sure.
In the back.
Sure.
You know, just free art programming. And how we do that, we're still figuring out.
Right.
So just opportunities. I have two grandkids in town.
Okay.
You know, who are soon to be 6 and 12. So they, you know, and they love the school system. They're very happy with the school.
Yes.
They get involved in everything.
Okay. Sure.
But most of it's King George, you know.
Right.
Because, you know, they go to dance in King George and they do other things. We have some of it here, but not that much.
So more things for kids.
That's sort of where I am, yeah.
16 and younger.
Yeah, I think children who have to be taken somewhere, you know, driven to
other things. We could have it here.
They just can't walk. And nowadays, they probably wouldn't want to ride a bike from my house to the art center. It's like 2 miles.
Yeah, so we did that when we were kids, though.
Yeah. I mean, I do it, but
yeah, I do it too.
I do it for exercise, not because I'm trying to get somewhere.
Yeah, I'm on my bike. I don't see hardly anybody else on bikes, you know. So, okay, where do you see Colonial Beach in 5 years?
Well, I will say over the last, say, what has it been, 2013 when I got here.
Okay.
So since that I actually moved here in 13, I've seen it growing quite a bit. And I've seen it growing in a way that I think it's, I mean, we've had a couple bumps in the road.
Okay.
But a lot of people came in and over COVID because of the, you know, remote, you know, work.
Sure.
Work. So a lot of folks came here. And that's where the townhouses came in and they filled fast and all that stuff. I would like to definitely see this town. We just have to support all the local businesses more. I mean, because our local business, we have some great local businesses now.
We do.
But I'd love to see
more
local businesses.
More, yeah.
Because our population is growing slowly.
Right.
It's growing. And you know, we need more opportunities. I mean, especially, I don't want to get onto any political high horse, but when it comes to like workforce living, we need to figure that out in town.
Sure.
So we need to have folks that can afford to live here when they grow up and, you know, they're young and they're trying to find a place to live. We want them here. You know,
right.
Keep
them. Yeah. I want them to stay.
And right now it's very difficult to find a place to rent in Colonial Beach that you can afford.
Okay. So we have cost of housing.
Most typically. Yeah.
And then a career for a young person.
Right. What are you going to do when you're here? You know, and if you have more businesses, there's more places to work. And if the housing was, and I'm not, you know, I'm not naive. I mean, you got to make money. If you own a house here.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to rent a house out here, you're going to have to make, you know, enough to pay your bills.
Sure.
But however, you know, it would be nice if we could figure out a way to, you know, I don't have the answers. I'll let somebody else figure
right,
that out.
Right. Okay. So what is the future of your studio here?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I mean, I will continue to do what I'm doing. I will probably always be an artist.
Sure.
But my own artwork is sort of taking a back seat now to helping other people because I've done it for so long.
Sure.
And I'm not all that passionate about making my own art at the moment, but I am passionate about making sure other people get better at whatever they're trying to do.
So over the past 6 months, how many students do you think come through here?
Three, four, five, six, seven. Only about 10.
10?
Yeah.
How many could you do?
At once?
No, but like staggered on a month.
Well, I would say I couldn't probably, because it's very individually directed study.
Could you go to 20?
I probably could, but it would be very random when it came to when.
Sure.
What I'll do is I'll occasionally have an open studio and say on a Tuesday and say, anybody wants to come in?
Okay.
So it's really not that, like I'm not keeping schedules. Okay.
Okay.
Done with that. Now it's, if you want to come in. You come in and we'll do an initial sort of evaluation of where you are and what you're trying to do. And then once we do that, then you can come in. If I'm here. Now, I wouldn't let any youngster come in, by themselves, of course.
Sure.
But, you know, anybody that's, you know, young adults can come in. They want to come in and do some work, you know, they can.
Okay. So, Bob, this is Porch Talk has this undercurrent of let's also get to know our neighbors.
Oh.
I had no idea about any of this.
I'm kind of under the radar.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is absolutely amazing. I'm sorry you're not bringing that incredible painting of an osprey to the Osprey Festival. I think somebody would buy that.
Well, it's been there before. And Joni, who you know from the Osprey Festival.
Yes.
Joni has the original sketch of that.
Oh, wow.
So she's very good. You know, I've done a couple sculptures that they donated. I donated, and I think it ended up in Joni's collection.
Okay.
Donated for the Osprey Festival.
Okay.
But I think Joni ended up with it.
Okay. All right. My God. Well, this has been great. This has been eye-opening. The art scene is buzzing here, isn't it?
It is. It really is.
It's tremendous. And you're on the board of all of it.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, and if somebody wants to find you, the buzz in the morning.
If you want to find me in person, the buzz in the morning.
The buzz in the morning.
But the art center can get a hold of me.
Yeah, or through the art center.
The
okay.
art center's open every day of the week. So.
7 days a week.
7 days a week. Right now, I believe it's 9 to 5. Don't quote me.
But. So if I have a 14-year-old who's really showing an aptitude, I go to the art center. On Washington Street, and I'm asking for Bob.
Well, you can ask for me for mentoring, but if you want classes, they give classes there. They give classes.
As well,
yes.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, I would start there. But if you have someone who's very interested in their career in art, and because I kind of touch on all of the bases, like I was saying earlier, not just the painting technique or sculpting technique, but more so the business of art and how to conduct yourself as a professional artist.
This has been a great Porch Talk. This has been eye-opening to me.
Oh, glad.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, Bob, thank you so much for being on our Porch Talk. And what's your favorite radio station?
Oh, 88.1 FM.
Okay, thank you, Bob.